Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 629, H2H Forgetacular, recorded live on May 17th, 2018. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am your host, Duststorm.
I'm your co-host, Godzilla T.
And we are back this time with quite a slew of news between the stream on Inside Xbox today and the past couple of other things from the past week. We have quite a bit to talk about, but we also have some special guests with us over from Forge Hub. We are pleased to welcome on the show the Omicron, and then the shooty person.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's going on?
Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having us.
Glad to be here.
Thank you for coming on. So we have these two on. They're part of the judging crew for the upcoming, well, I guess not upcoming because it's actually live now, Halo 2 Anniversary Forgetacular in partnership with 343. So we are going to ask them some questions about the contest. Is that technically the term for it?
Yeah.
Contest is an applicable term, yeah.
Okay.
We'll answer what we can, make sure that it doesn't violate our NDAs with Forge Hub, because then they'll come for us.
Yeah, and it's being recorded, so that might not be very good either. But nonetheless, well, no, I think that's the questions we have... I think the questions we have shouldn't be too incriminating if it gets to that point. So we'll go over what the contest is, how to enter, what's at stake here for anyone that's coming into the contest. And we've got a few other little news announcements to go over. But first, as we do with all of our guests, Omicron, we'll start with you. But how did you get involved with Halo to start out with?
Oh, gosh. Oh, I wasn't ready for this. Halo.
You didn't study.
In general, you're talking Halo from the beginning?
Halo in general. What was your first foray into Halo? How'd you get involved? How'd you get sucked in like the rest of us?
Yes, Omicron.
My first... hey, listen. Stay out of this, Bill. It's my turn. my first introduction to Halo, I was Halo 2. Before live and everything, just playing with my older brothers. We had an Xbox, just playing casually. Like, I remember playing on Lockout a ton, dying a lot. But that was my first introduction. I didn't really understand what the game was, but I liked playing it. It was just a fun, casual shooter for me. I didn't know anything about the story or anything like that. I was naive.
He still doesn't.
This is true.
Still naive and
you
young.
Don't want to talk to me about lore. I will embarrass everyone.
Let me tell you something, Duststorm. He was really worried about coming onto this podcast earlier because
still
he knows nothing. He played Combat Evolved for the first time during our 10th anniversary live stream, which was about 3 months ago.
This is true.
There's worse sins.
Please they don't strike exist. Me down.
They exist, but hard to come by.
Nah, it's all good. Everyone's welcome within our little Halo group.
Yeah, Halo 2 was my first introduction to the Halo scene, and then I went, you know, Halo 3 and so on and so forth. And progressively, I got more into it and got more involved with the community from there.
Very nice. And our second question we ask everybody is, what do you do in the community now? Which we kind of know a little bit since you're on from Forge Hub, but I guess on your own personal time, where do you dabble in the Halo community?
Me personally, I tend to stick to Forge primarily in the custom. I don't want to say the customs community because that's kind of subjective, but the forging community and the custom scene around that more so. Testing maps a bunch of people. We do weekly test lobbies and such to test maps. But that's pretty much where I hang around. I dabble mostly in Infection, sometimes in Core. I have a lot of background in Core. With helping test.
Can you believe this guy has stolen credit for every single Infection map in the playlist?
This is true. My name is on every single Infection map in Halo 5. So I pretty much made every single Halo 5 Infection map.
That's 15 olive helmets?
That is. That's a lot of olive helmets.
You just stack them on top
thanks
of
for,
each other.
Thanks for, you know, just letting that loose.
Just stacks on stacks of olive helmets. You just got a tower.
Pretty much.
Yeah, they probably just stack on top of each other pretty well, right? Because don't you have like...
Using them as paperweights now.
Forge object weights.
Big flock of pigs. Flock?
A flock, yeah.
What's a group of pigs?
A school.
A school of pig? No.
Are they underwater?
Pigs? It's not a fish.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't asking if it was a fish, Omicron. I was asking if they're underwater. It's two separate questions.
According to Google, no, it's not underwater. According to Google, a group of young pigs is called a drift, a drove, or litter. Let's go with litter.
Huh.
I like drift a lot better, but all right.
Okay.
A group of older pigs is called a sounder, a swine, which I was thinking of swine, a team or a passel of hogs.
We got a passel of hogs working over on Forge Hub, so.
You learn something new every day.
You learn something
new. You have to remember that for, like, whenever we're playing, like, big team or something, it's like, oh, we got a passel of hogs coming for the flag.
I've never heard that. That's awesome.
I've never heard that either, but it's a word I'm going to try to work into my daily vocabulary.
Tell you what, the next time you guys do like a Forge Hub video that's either big team related or something to do with hogs, you gotta throw it in there.
Definitely will make note of that.
We'll absolutely try.
Thank you, Google. I guess we should use Bing because we're talking about the Microsoft product. Anyways.
All right. Oh, Bing's the best.
Okay, this is unusable. All right, just scrap it.
Scrap it all.
Of course Bing's the best. They give you free stuff.
Bing is the best, and they stopped Bing Rewards because one of my friends set up a bot to just make a bunch of searches, and he just raked in a bunch of Microsoft points, but that's another story.
Well, Bing pulls up the same sub-search reference at reference.com, oh, so right. It works. All
right.
Oh, gosh. Haas is saying, ask Jeeves.
Yes.
Oh, Jeeves. That's something I haven't heard in for a while.
That's like over a decade ago. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's probably older
yeah,
than
let me hang on. Let me boot up America Online real quick.
There you go. Netscape Navigator.
Get my old dial-up modem out.
Oh, geez. All right. Well, after that derailment, shooty person, how about you? How'd you get your start in Halo?
If you want the entirely honest answer, my very first experience coming across Halo was very anticlimactic. It was actually a friend brought Halo 2 over to my house when we were younger for the original Xbox. The 360 hadn't come out yet. Halo 3 hadn't come out yet. Halo 2 was fresh off the market. And he was like, dude, you got to play this game. It's just so much fun. It's the best. And I took one look at it and I was like, no. That was it. Boom.
No.
I don't want to play this. And he, oh no, dude, it's the best. No. And I didn't play it. Halo 3 rolled around, and at a different friend's house, we stayed up all night drinking Mountain Dew Voltage and eating Flamin' Hot Cheetos, which, by the way, if you've never done that,
sponsor.
not a sponsor. Yeah, we're not affiliated with either of those brands, and I mean, I'll probably really ruin that if we are, because if you ever eat and drink that combination at the same time, you'll realize that it kind of creates like a nuclear reactor in your stomach, and you just get a really weird euphoric feeling for the rest of the night. So we blazed through all of Halo 3 that night, and that's probably when I got really into it. Flash forward a little while, I started forging in Halo 3 all the way up through Reach, 4, H2A, and now here in 5. Got picked up by Forge Hub to be a part of their staff about a year ago now, and now I'm both on the writing team as well as I've served as a kind of what do you want to call it? Just
publishing?
Writing and publishing for the most part, but I've also served as contest coordinator for the Grand Prix, which we recently hosted, and mm-hmm. now in affiliation and in partnership with 343, we're kind of all taking a role as a contest coordinator with the H2A Forgetacular.
Very nice. And you kind of in turn already answered the second question, so I won't ask that of you.
I'm one step ahead of you. I'm going to be giving the interview now, Deathstorm.
Oh, well, you have the questions, so go for it.
I have the why did you choose to pick Halo 2 Anniversary as the Forge contest?
Well, we'll get to that in a little bit, actually. First things first, though, want to do a little bit of a community recap over the past couple of days. So we had our Fragging Fridays with GT, and I had my stream on Sunday where I got a few more ODST achievements on MCC. But how was the game then on Friday, GT?
Oh, it was a blast.
Got some Castle Wars in, hopefully. That's the last one. Yeah.
Let's see. We spent some time in, well, we did Warzone and BTB. Our party actually got too big for BTB, so we had to move into Warzone.
That's nice.
It's a good problem. Played a couple
of rounds of Rochambeau.
Okay. Customs?
Which, yeah.
Very nice.
Which was a lot of fun.
So no Castle Wars.
We did play some Castle Wars, but okay. We outgrew it pretty quickly.
Got it. That sounds like a pretty awesome night.
Our party just got too big to have any fun.
Well, that's good to hear. It's good to hear that we got quite a few people coming around. I wonder if any of the recent hype has helped with it, which I'm guessing it probably has a little bit. So, speaking of playlists and such, Griffball is out for the new rotational playlist coming in. So we currently have Castle Wars and Griffball for those that are interested. Rochambeau should be thrown into some kind of... Well, was it in the Action Sack playlist when they had it out?
Rochambeau?
Rochambeau was not.
I don't remember seeing it.
Or was it Husky Raid? Maybe it was Husky Raid.
I think it was Husky Raid.
Husky Raid was in the Action Sack playlist, but Rochambeau has not made an appearance.
I'd like to see Rochambeau in some kind of Action Sack.
It'd be a fun one to have. Some of these custom games, though, a fun fact, a lot of them don't get put into Action Sack because they require death on your part to either reset an objective or some sort, and that really messes with people's stats and matchmaking, so they try to avoid any custom games that's going to involve the player ultimately getting a death count that they don't deserve. So I haven't actually played Rochambeau in a while, but I just know that a lot of these custom games sometimes require that, and they get either put out or they try to redo it in another way, and it ends up not working out. So a lot of custom games that people have wanted in Action Sack, unfortunately, haven't been able to get in for that reason.
I guess that makes sense from a stats perspective. I mean, it kind of sucks that that's the...
Right.
That's the reason, but it makes sense.
Right. It's unfortunate. I wish that they could have a way to where it wouldn't just Action Sack wouldn't count towards your stats at all. Then they can just put whatever they want.
Or just split the ranking stats versus the social stats.
Exactly. There's that as well. Halo 3 did that, and that was a huge success.
Well, Halo 6, you never know.
You never know. That's true. So we have our Fragging Friday still on Fridays every at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 5:30 p.m. Pacific. And then was it this coming weekend or a weekend coming up that we're looking at doing our last Achieving Halo episode for Halo 5?
We are looking to do it whenever I can get somebody together.
Okay. So if you're interested, let GT know either through the Spartan Company or message him on Twitter or Xbox. We need to get that wrapped up. Let's get it done. If there's enough people, I might be able to do it this weekend.
Really? I only actually need two.
Okay. We'll see if we can knock it out.
And I've got one person that is interested, but haven't been able to nail down a time that they're available yet. So,
what exactly do you need knocked out?
Oh, last mission of Halo 5.
Okay. Legendary?
No, just heroic.
Okay.
Oh. What I do is I go through each campaign level and get the maximum amount of achievements per playthrough. In other words, I just try to stack as many achievements as you can in, you know, a single playthrough of a mission. And with Halo 5, since you have to complete it on Legendary solo anyway to get an achievement, I've just been going through on Heroic.
Hey, Omicron, what happens in the last mission of Halo 5?
Bro, that's something you don't want to ask me.
That's why I'm asking you, though.
You're just trying to make me look bad. I know you too well.
Just ad lib.
Is someone poking the flame? Someone yeah, poking the fire.
He is throwing the gasoline on the fire.
Uh-oh. Do I need to get us back on topic or
go right ahead?
He's done past gasoline. He's went to straight up nitro.
I'm just dumping kerosene on this guy.
I'm used to it. It's okay.
All right. So a couple of news items we'll try to get through quickly so we can get on to our main talking points. And this one might be a little bit relevant to, I don't know if Shooty and Omicron, if you had any input to these, but the last two maps that were chosen for or were chosen for the upcoming HCS season, and they are Fissure by Negative Zero and Echelon by Squally Da Beans.
Yeah.
Yeah. Both of those maps are excellent choices for competitive play. When I saw the lineup of maps that were going in there, there were definitely some more stronger ones, but they were all really great maps. And, you know, Squally and Negative both, I've spoken with both of them, not to a huge extent, but I have casually. And, you know, both of them are really great guys, and I'm really happy for both of them to be able to get their maps into a competitive atmosphere like this. And I just hope that they're both ready for intense screenings by HCS players, because let me tell
intense
you,
intense scrutiny.
Oh yeah, the scrutiny is real. It's gonna be brutal. every bump, every frame drop, everything, they're gonna get ripped apart, and I think they'll be able to handle that well, but I just they're gonna have a lot of work ahead, and they might have thought that their maps were done, and they are, and they're great. But wow, they're not HCS done. Nothing is. The Their rig isn't HCS done. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Coliseum isn't HCS done. They're still updating HCS. Still to this day. Now they just recently removed Spartan Charge and Ground Pound because it's always evolving and they're always getting new complaints in. So Squally and Negative, both of you, Godspeed, my friends, because wow.
You have quite the journey ahead.
It's really cool seeing those two in particular. I've known both of them pretty well. Squally a little bit longer than Negative. I know Negative is, I don't want to say a new forger, but I think the Halo 5, he was kind of a newbie forger, and he's improved an incredible amount throughout Halo 5, and it's been amazing to watch. And just like getting from like the beginning of Halo 5 and like being a newer forger, and then seeing that he has a HCS map now, it's insane. And Squally is one of those, I don't want to say stereotypical because that makes it seem bad, but he's very critical of his own work, and he's very methodical in everything that he does. And it's very respectable. He's very professional in the way that he thinks out design. And so it's really cool to see those two different kind of perspectives, two different types of people kind of coming together and have
each two different types of maps as well.
Absolutely. Very different, yeah.
Darren, very differently. Echelon and Fissure are two great maps that are so different from each other. And that's what I think was the ultimate decision to bring them both in, is because Echelon being that asymmetrical kind of, it has more death pits to it. It has more fall offs. Fissure, on the other hand, has that kind of symmetrical Guardian feel to it, which is what a lot of people have been comparing it to. And It's an accurate comparison to where it has the mid ring center and the kind of wraparound edges to it, which really, really focus on choke points. So I think that it's going to be really interesting to see how these competitive players are going to play these games on these new maps.
And it's interesting to hear, at least kind of over the course of the last week, the HCS Twitter and Strongside posting the play update or the play lobbies and everything, how much scrutiny that this was going under and how many different play sessions there were. And another thing I noticed is that there was still quite a bit of desire to have a Sanctuary remake in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's the news behind that?
I was in quite a few of those test lobbies that he was streaming and whatnot. I was just spectating and trying to see, you know, checking spawns and whatnot and seeing how the maps played from an aerial point of view to help out the creators of the maps with tweaking. But yeah, a lot of people wanted Sanctuary. In the end, I think they didn't choose Sanctuary because, to be honest, I think they were looking for more oddball specific maps because they're really pushing oddball for this next new season. And the reason being, all the dev maps that they have, they weren't designed for oddball, so they don't play real well. And thankfully, Fissure
Echelon.
Echelon. Echelon. Yeah. I was thinking Epsilon, but it's Echelon.
Epsilon. You're close. You almost got
Echelon.
It.
They play really well for oddball, so that's it. I think when it comes down to it, that's why they picked those two maps in particular. Over Sanctuary. Even though Sanctuary is a great map.
Sanctuary is a classic, but you got to remember that was designed for Halo 2. That was designed for the classic. You know, there was no advanced movements whatsoever. It made its return back in Reach as Asylum. And, you know, it's a great map, but it doesn't have anything that caters to the advanced movements, which they like to see from the pro players. They like to see how they're going to utilize things like Thrust or Clamber. So I just think Sanctuary in the end was kind of shelved for later, perhaps. They might relook at it at the end of this season, but really anything is possible.
And the two maps are pretty much locked in as far as they're going to try their best to get it all HCS ready without the frame rate issues or anything. Is it something that these maps are the end all be all, the only two that are going to be in there? Or is there still more assessment being done? And will they change things out if things need to be?
Obviously, we don't know everything. We only know what we're told because we're not 343, but from what we've been told and what we understand, they're really trying to fine tune those two maps. And if worst comes to worst, either there's something game breaking on one of the maps and they can't fix it, they'll just drop the map and they'll have just one map added instead of both. If worst comes to worst.
And to answer your other question to follow up with that, I'm going to kind of borrow a page from Grim Brother One's book and just, I don't ever want to say never, but as of right now, those are the only two maps that they're really pushing. So basically what Omicron said, it's really those two maps are the stars of the show. They already announced that they're going to use those. So anything that changes from here on out would have to be something game breaking. But who knows, maybe next season, if next season does actually take place in Halo 5, because we also don't even know that, they might add new Forge maps. They might take a look at new ones that have been made in this last year, maybe relook at the ones that they've shelved. It's really just those two for this season. But beyond that, we have no idea. And I'm looking forward to see what comes out of that.
Well, see what happens. There's a lot that could change from here until, well, July is the first open. So it's not too far away, but there's still quite a bit of time. At some point, I would like to have some of the Forge Hub staff on to kind of talk about how a lot of things get considered, especially with the movement abilities. But I know we got a lot about to talk about tonight, so maybe another podcast.
Oh yeah, sure,
we'd love to be saved up for that. So yeah, the two maps, those are the two maps that were chosen out of the 7+ that were considered, since there were some other maps that were called out by some of the pros to be considered. Do you know how many total maps were looked at? I'm guessing it was at least 10, judging by how many it sounded like the pros were trying to influence some additional maps.
Sanctuary was one of them.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I saw the list. I don't know really how much in detail I'd want to go, but I saw the list and pretty much they took a look at any seriously development gameplay focused map that supported 4v4 was considered at some point.
Okay.
So they took a look at a lot and a lot of maps for this playlist. They really tried to pick and choose ones that they really believed in the end. And I think they did that. They did that pretty well. But as the very start, it started with them just saying, we need 4v4 maps. So then they looked through 4v4, and from there, it kind of went on as, okay, what are the best 4v4 maps?
Very nice. In addition to the maps, they have officially removed Spartan Charge and Ground Pound from HCS play. I believe that still leaves Thruster Pack, Stability in there, and the Slide, I think those are the last of Clamber. The Spartan abilities. Clamber. Right. So it's all the added stuff's getting whittled down slowly but surely. The only thing they're not really taking away is sprint.
Exactly.
At this point.
I don't think they ever will, honestly. Just to be Halo 5, I can't see them getting rid of sprint like at this late in the game. It would be too game changing.
Yeah, everything is scaled to account for sprint. So removing it, you'll just realize how long it takes to traverse maps.
I think a lot of the industry, as far as the first person shooter genre goes, is used to sprint, and sprint's kind of just that staple now, where if you don't have sprint in the game, it's almost like the oddity more than the common experience.
It's funny because I think, yeah, it goes along with that. I think it's become such a normality in gaming because, I mean, I'm not a psychologist or anything, but I feel like the newer generations, like my generation and people younger than me, that they don't want to, it takes too long to traverse a map. People want fast gameplay. They want, you know, snap, 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 die, respawn, get back into the action as fast as you can. And that's what sprint helps with. Like if you go back to Halo 2, if you're not a seasoned Halo 2 player, or if you're not older and have played it when you were younger, it's kind of strange to play. Like, why is it so slow paced?
Yeah, there's always times when I go back to Halo MCC or one of the other Halo games where I instinctively try to use my thruster pack and I'm like, wait, I can't do that.
Yes.
Or I try to sprint and it's like, I'm still moving straight. Oh, that's right. I can't do that. And it takes a couple of games for it to kind of work out in my system. Like, okay, I'm not accidentally pressing buttons anymore. I don't need to be pressing, but it's still one of those things that gets ingrained because I do play Halo 5 so much. I almost play it probably 3 or 4 days of the week, at least.
Yeah, it's kind of just moving forward with these kinds of things. You tend to forget what's left behind, which is actually a great segue if we're going to be moving into talking about MCC coming up here pretty soon, because making that shift from Halo 5 back into MCC, it's incredibly polarizing to see just how different the game plays. And not only that, but people that are really great at Halo 5 might be really bad at Halo 2 Anniversary or vice versa. So it's really crazy to see just how different a game it is just by adding those small mechanics, or what seems to be small mechanics.
Well, if you look at the competitive scene between Halo 3, Halo Reach, Halo 4, and Halo 5, you had new skill come up and really dominate in those first year or so of play until the veteran Halo players had a chance to adapt. So it is definitely something where a lot of the new mechanics play an aspect of getting used to how the game changes and what is now the norm. It's definitely something that is, I think, a healthy thing within competitive, because it keeps things new and changing, and it hopefully prevents it from being stale, because there are new things every time a game comes out. But then again, you do have some other games that have had not as big of changes, but have a track record of being competitive. Like for a while, it was Counter-Strike 1.7, and now it's Counter-Strike Go, and that's been out for years now.
Yeah.
League's been out for a while and the core mechanics of that hasn't changed. Overwatch, I mean, it's still relatively new, but that's blowing up into an esport, which
only
mechanics to change to that would probably be just adding new heroes and just tweaking the established game there. So,
yeah, that seems crazy. It's blowing up.
It really is. The next update that we have is Halo Wars 2 got another balance update. Kind of overall, tanks got more tanky, UNSC units got buffed compared to the banished, and they changed a whole slew of leader powers.
How much experience do you have in Halo Wars?
Not that much.
I don't either.
Neither.
Campaign.
Yeah, the campaign. I played through the campaign. And then after that, I don't think I've touched Halo Wars 2 since. And that's not anything wrong with Halo Wars. Like, it's an absolutely great RTS game. I just don't like RTS games.
I'm the same way. I'm a first-person shooter person through and through with a little bit of racing in there. And I can appreciate RTSs. My brain doesn't quite like that. And I love the storyline, which is why I play the campaign, but the multiplayer is difficult. I will
it's,
put it that way.
Exactly. I was just watching the 343 stream that they did the other day with Postums, Renzi, and Grim, and I just watching the gameplay in the background just blew my mind because I didn't know what they were doing and I couldn't comprehend how fast they were doing it.
Well, that's the thing with RTS is a player is usually measured by actions per minute. And you're doing so much, it is so hard to keep track of, I think more so than first-person shooters. You have a lot more screen movement in first-person shooters, but that's not necessarily unit movement that you have in Halo Wars 2. I've done some Blitz with Bobby, who's, I think, listening to us since he's driving, but did the campaign, got the story, still working on some achievements. Otherwise, it's something I don't focus on too heavily, which again is not saying anything against the game, it's just not an RTS player.
Yeah, it's a great game for that audience,
and I think they did a great job with it.
Sure, it looks great.
The continued too. It does, the blur cutscenes are fantastic, and the continued support for it has been pretty great. They're still updating it now, they've been adding new content. No word, I don't know if they are still adding new content to it, but
no new content tweaks.
Yeah, still tweaking, everything like that, and that's great continued support for an RTS game like that post-launch, so good on them, especially with their limited staff, because I'm sure most of them are focused on whatever their next title is, so it's great to see that they're still having some focus on their existing titles rather than just leaving them behind.
No. Their whole staff is focused on the arcade console. That they're putting in David Busters.
Yes.
That's super cool though.
I'm so excited for that.
Yeah.
And I do have a Dave and Busters close to me, so
that's awesome.
I will be hitting that up. We'll get to that in a second too. As far as the balance updates, that's kind of the overall gist of it. There's lots of leader tweaks. I think almost every leader got touched in some form or fashion with their leader powers. Just the ongoing balance to keep the game fresh and fun. Next thing is the hashtag Halo Challenge. So this is a wrap up to probably what everyone has heard of already, which was football player?
He was a rookie for the Eagles.
Eagles.
That's it.
Yeah. Okay. And he wasn't the one who started it, though.
No, there was someone before it, but
he made it big.
I forget what the original tweet was, but I think it was like, you heard of the Karate Kid, and it's like, here's the Halo Kid or something. So it's a video. Like
Karate Kid.
Yeah. I don't remember what specifically it was. It was something cheesy like
that. It was the yodeling Walmart kid. The kid that got really famous to the point where he performed at Coachella, which is not something we need to talk about on this podcast. But I'd really like to see the Halo Challenge blow up to the point where they bring a Grim Coachella. or Postums or someone out to Coachella and have them just do the monk chant right there live on stage. I mean,
interesting.
That would give me a reason to go to Coachella. So who knows?
That would, yeah. If there's Halo there, then all for it, right?
Yeah. And now they're offering up an Xbox One X.
That's pretty cool. That's really cool.
Possibly win this challenge. We don't know what the challenge entails other than singing the monk chant, but we do know that they're offering a 1X. So,
well, I believe they said that as long as you submit and you do it in good fun, the selection's going to be randomized. It's not going to be like handpicked. So anyone has a chance, which is nice.
And you're right, Shudi. It's just the Halo chant. That's all you have to do. Obviously, do it with some reverb. So do it in the bathroom, do it in the parking garage, somewhere you can get some nice reverb so it sounds somewhat like the original piece. And all you have to do is post it on social media with the hashtag Halo Challenge before midnight on June 8th. That's midnight Pacific time. So 3 a.m. June 9th Eastern. And you'll be entered to win.
Still have a lot of time.
It's that simple. And one randomly selected person will win an Xbox One X.
So there you go.
I do like how 343 just kind of took some funny thing on the internet and it's like, we're going to make a contest out of it. There you go.
Yeah, why not?
Why not? Why the heck not?
It's good publicity.
Exactly. It's great publicity. That original tweet had somewhere in the realm of 300,000 retweets or something. Might have been likes. Something like that, though. Big number. And that's crazy publicity for Halo nowadays, because there's no new announcements. There's no anything. It's just suddenly Halo is being talked about. So, yeah, I mean, capitalizing on that, it's essentially a meme, but a popular meme, no less. So, hey, good on them.
Yeah. So that's the Halo challenge. Pretty simple, pretty basic. So record a video of yourself doing the Halo monk chant, the iconic Halo monk chant, and put the hashtag Halo challenge on social media, and you're good to go. Inside Xbox had their weekly stream today, and we got some Halo news. We got HCS updates, which was a first look at the upcoming HCS season, which looks like it's going to be for the entire rest of 2018. Starting with a dual tournament or
qualifier?
It's not qualifier, it's just an open LAN, but it's in conjunction with the Gears of War Pro Circuit.
Oh, that's right.
So for the first time in a long time, I forget when the last time Halo and Gears were played at a simultaneous MLG event. It may have been 2007, 2008.
It was a while ago, yeah.
Right, it might have been something Halo like that. 3.
That's what I'm thinking. So at MLG New Orleans, which is going to be July 13th through the 15th, the Halo Championship Series and the Gears Pro Circuit will be under one roof for their circuits. The Halo prize pool is going to be $250,000, which is the largest prize pool for an open Halo event, which means that this LAN is actually open to the world. So there's no pre-qualifications or anything. It's open to any team internationally who wants to travel to New Orleans to compete, and any other teams in the U.S. that want to try to get their grab at some prize money to participate. So, yeah, that it's an open LAN, which
that's
is
gonna
awesome.
Bring out a lot of people, for sure.
I think so. I like the feeling that they're kind of going back with the similar MLG style. I think everyone was very happy that MLG is back in the Halo esports scene. And I think it's just going to continue to grow.
Mm-hmm. Omicron and I actually roomed together in Orlando for the first HCS event of this past season. So cool. We were there for HCS Orlando, and that was an insane event.
That was a lot of fun. And then I was at Seattle with you. You were there.
Funny story. I actually met Omicron after deboarding our plane from Baltimore.
Yeah, I sat behind you.
I heard about that.
I noticed he had a Forge Hub shirt on, and I'm like, hey, I know Forge Hub. I'm going to talk to this person.
You got to represent. You're representing Podtacular.
Yeah.
Representation.
We had a huge crowd come out for the.
You had a posse.
We did.
I think you had almost like 13 people out there.
Something like that. Yeah, right around
in
there.
In Seattle. Yeah, for Forge Hub alone, I think we had about 8 or 9 people make it to Seattle. But the greater Forge community and kind of the central core of the Forge community, we had tons of people out there.
It
we
was
had
like 20, 21 people.
A good 25 people at max, maybe, that just made it out there just for HCS Seattle. And that was crazy. I didn't get to attend Seattle, and that was just so bummed, because I'm getting all these pictures and I'm seeing everyone, just meeting all these new people, people that I've talked to for years. And it's just insane to see that happen. And just seeing how HCS, which is an event that in the previous year, at least, didn't really involve the Forge community, seeing it still bring everyone together was insane. And it shows that just the sense of community that's still alive in Halo. And that's insane to just see all of that go down.
It was really cool to see how many people were there, because the past couple of Worlds events, it's been a very small venue. And this time it was at least double, if not nearly triple, the amount of attendees in person.
Yeah.
And you all had Tom French cornered off, I think, Saturday and Sunday for almost the entire day.
Yeah. Hey, us Forge kids, you know.
Yeah.
We like that guy.
It's like, Daddy, come talk to us. Come play with us.
That's pretty much how it went, yeah.
No, that's cool, though. And a lot of the 343 folks they're always very open. They're very kind, very genuine people. And it's awesome to see how much they really care about the community and are really just open arms to everybody that wants to learn more about what they do.
Right. And with everyone that we met, at least in Orlando, everyone that we met made time to actually speak with us. And that was just I keep using the word insane, but it's still hard to wrap my head around all of it. Meeting everyone from Unishek to Grim Brother One. We met Strongside. We had a conversation with Bravo. We met all the way up to Kiki Wolfkill. And every one of them knew who we were as Forge Hub. And every one of them were just super kind and really warm-hearted about everything that we were doing for the community. And it felt genuine, which is something that you can't really say about a lot of developers, because I don't know, it just, they felt like they shared the same sense of community. And it was more than just, we made this game and now you guys are helping with Forge or with community, so thank you. It was like a genuine sense of thank you for this. We love what you guys do as much as you love what we do. And it's a mutual feeling that was just, it was awesome.
And I'm happy you guys were able to go out there and such in great numbers to be able to, I guess, meet each other for the first time, I'm assuming, for some of you guys.
That's one of the, I mean, realistically, you know, a large chunk of the Forgers, we're not competitive players per se. And so we're not going there to compete. But it's a fantastic venue and place to meet up as a group to meet each other, because it's, you know, it's Halo centric. It's great. It
really is. So to wrap up the season preview, we've got the New Orleans Open, which is going to be July 13th through 15th for $250K prize pool. There's the following Open in London with Gfinity. And that's going to be a $135,000 prize pool, which will take place September 14th through the 16th, so 2 weeks after PAX. Online play begins in June, and then the finals will be in North America in November. More details about that will be coming soon. But for the moment, the big event coming up is going to be New Orleans, where Halo and Gears will be under the same roof at an MLG event.
Exciting.
Very exciting. There's also going to be a $5,000 FFA tournament at both New Orleans and London. I think both of those are also open play as well. So if you're going to be attending to watch the pros, you can also get in some FFA action and possibly pick up some cash there as well. Microsoft stores are also going to continue their LAN events at all locations across the world. On June 3rd, there's going to be their 2v2. July 8th is an FFA. August 12th is a 2v2, and September 9th is a 4v4. To learn more information about your local Microsoft store, head over to aka.ms/Microsoft Store locations. Pretty much every Microsoft store is participating in the LAN events throughout North America, Puerto Rico, and Australia. So if your Microsoft store is not listed, then you might want to check with them and see what their situation is with their LAN, but every Microsoft store should have a LAN for all these events happening. Lots of opportunities to play and have some fun, meet some other Halo fans, and overall just have a good, competitive, fun Halo time. The second thing, the big surprise, at least for most people, is Halo is coming to the arcade. Yes, you heard that right. Halo is coming to Dave & Buster's in North America this summer, and it's going to be a four-player experience on two 4K monitors at Dave & Buster's. It is an arcade system put together by Raw Thrills and Play Mechanics, who have had some history in the arcade scene, I guess. So this partnership is putting Halo into the likes of arcade areas across the world. First coming to Dave & Buster's, and then across the world following that, wherever there's interest. So this is a big change for Halo.
This is definitely something we've never seen before.
Dave & Buster's.
What would you prefer be?
Any place but there. I haven't had good experiences at that particular establishment.
Establishment.
I was gonna say that sounds like a very personal vendetta you have against.
Not vendetta. I just choose to take my business somewhere else.
Pure hatred.
Pure unadulterated rage.
Take it to like Putt-Putt.
Yeah.
Maybe Chuck E. Cheese.
Exactly. That's what I was saying.
Since we're throwing back to way back when and some other pieces, Discovery Zone.
Discovery Anyone? Zone? Discovery oh, Zone. It rings never a bell, but I'm probably too young to understand.
No, never around me.
Okay,
never,
I'm going to show my age. Showbiz Pizza.
Oh, yeah. Wow, that's a throwback.
Yeah, it doesn't ring a bell.
I've only heard the name.
Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, Chuck E. Cheese bought out Showbiz.
Oh, okay.
What about Gaddy's? Is that old-ish enough?
That might be heard of that a one. Location thing.
Gaddy's Pizza? It's very similar to Chuck E. Cheese. Anyways. So,
this podcast is sponsored by Chuck E. Cheese.
No. Can't say that.
So we have an arcade experience that's based off of kind of the Halo CE time frame, and it uses kind of mixed assets from Halo 1 and Halo 2. Not much information as far as like a established story within the game, but there's probably going to be more details when it's ready to be delivered to Dave & Buster's. But basically, it's a four-person experience, so very couch co-op-y feel. And I like it's how it's four instead of two. It'll be interesting to see how much wiggle room there is between all four.
It looked pretty spacious. He said it was, what, 11 foot by 11 foot by 11 foot or something?
Yeah. It's
big.
Big. And it's two 4K screens.
It's pretty high tech.
130 inches.
For an arcade.
Yeah, especially for an arcade. I remember playing like House of the Dead 2 in the arcade, and I mean like exactly.
Ghost Recon.
Let's see, yeah, 130 inches. That'd be 10 foot wide.
About 11 feet. Yeah, that's huge.
So that's the Halo arcade experience, which I will admit was a surprise. So they got it.
Yeah, I don't think anyone was really expecting that.
No, that was Halo 6. Spoilers. That was it. E3.
I saw E3 a tweet confirmed. Earlier, or I think Haas, if he's still in here, I think he posted this from someone posting this somewhere else on the Halo Hub Discord, but it was a tweet of someone saying they did say that the next Halo game would be split screen co-op. And Grimm's like, I told you so.
Oh, that's funny.
And then Halo 6 is just not.
There won't be any.
They're like, oh, we said the next
split screen.
We said the next. Nothing about after.
Right.
That would be a troll.
Oh, no.
Yes. So I don't know if this is Twitter or something, but hey, look, the next Halo game does have split screen. And Grimm's like, see, told you it would. That's the actual screen. I think it's going to be kind of cool. I actually got to see a little bit of this back in PAX last year. It was one of the things during the community day that we were given a sneak peek to. Granted, it was not this fleshed. It wasn't nearly this fleshed out when they showed us the prototypes for it, but it is something that you can actually take profiles around, and it will actually link into your Halo Waypoint profile. I think originally they were thinking about having some kind of USB type of thing or dongle where you took it around, but there's going to be QR codes which you could scan and basically log into your profile with your phone, And then your arcade experience there will actually tie into your Halo Waypoint record.
Oh, okay. That's actually, that's pretty nifty.
Yeah, and you'll have statistics, leaderboards, very similar to kind of the leaderboards that Halo Wars and Spartan Assault, Spartan Strike had. So it's not like a lot of information, but kind of a simple leaderboard and like scoreboard type thing.
So it's what you're essentially saying is how everybody in the arcade, when they get a high score and it asks for your initials, everyone puts ASS. So basically what you're saying is now we can have a universal leaderboard of just ass.
Well, it'll probably be just linked to gamer tags.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean,
for those that log
essentially
in,
that's the same thing.
Well, if
whoever has that gamer tag,
unless
that's actually blocked.
Probably yeah, that's probably blocked.
Okay, fine. Guaranteed. All right, A55.
There you go. Which would be a valid Halo 3.
No, in Halo 3
tag. Isn't it?
No,
letter...
fun fact, A55 was blocked in Halo 3. If you tried
to use...
smart.
They were smart.
Yes, exactly. So was I-17, because it looked too much like 117.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, A55 was blocked. And
they're smart. That's good.
I'm sure everyone under the age of 7 was just incredibly disappointed by that, but it was a good move.
So the arcade is going to be coming again to Dave & Buster's in the summer. No specific date yet, but there will be North America getting it first at Dave & Buster's exclusively, and then it will be going to the rest of the world. And I don't think it's going to be limited to any one particular vendor or anything. So just give some time. If there's interest, it will be probably measured and then shipped out. More units are deemed necessary, if that makes sense.
343, you could ship one right to my house.
You have room for that in your house? 11 by 11 by 11
I can
cube.
Make room.
For that, I would make room.
It'll be my house.
I don't need a bed, Seth. I don't need one. I want a bed, but I want this arcade machine more.
I just saw this, but apparently Raw Thrills followed me on Twitter.
Nice.
Oh, well, there you go.
There you go. It's like, hey, so, yeah, arcade coming?
They're going to hook you up.
Exactly.
It's going to show up at your door
one
any day.
For all four
That would be
of
a
us.
Huge shipment.
A huge package. That wouldn't even fit in the back of a UPS fully truck. Assembled. They would have to like airdrop that into your backyard.
Yeah. Hey, where are the Amazon drones when you need them?
Like Amazon drone delivering
like 90
an 11
of them just
cubic.
They'd have like block. Optimus Prime deliver that to your house.
Oh,
nothing else could carry it.
Well, it had to be some kind of Halo name instead of Optimus Prime. It had to be like some kind of Forerunner AI name.
It could be a guardian.
That's exactly what you want, a weapon of mass destruction to show up on your front
porch. I don't
porch
know about the lore. I don't
deliver.
Even know what a guardian does. I'm sorry.
No, neither do we, okay? Seth, that's one of the biggest problems right now. Neither do we.
Gosh. That's funny.
We've seen them do one thing, and we're still not sure if that was it. We're not even sure what it was.
Was
but anyway.
Even in the desert in Halo 5?
No, he wasn't. No, he wasn't.
How do you know?
True, we don't. We weren't
made,
sure.
I mean, so made, much.
Made so you much think on missing. That one.
Exactly.
So to learn more about Fireteam Raven and the Halo Arcade experience, you can head on over to aka.ms/FireteamRaven. With the response back that they got on Twitter after the Inside Xbox stream today, they are giving away one of the Halo Fireteam t-shirts on Twitter. So at Halo nice. Gear right now, if you go on over to their account, I don't know how long this is going to be up. So by the time the edit version is out, this may not be up anymore. As long as you are following Halo at Halo Gear and retweeting the tweet with the shirt in it, then you are eligible to win a Fireteam Raven t-shirt. And I have a feeling this is something that they'll probably have at trade shows coming. So wouldn't be surprised if they had a Fireteam Raven on the show floor at PAX Prime. And maybe give them way shorts for people that play?
Good point. They might.
And they might have it at E3.
E3 is right around the corner, so.
We will see. Summer does go until August. So it depends on how... Well, I guess they probably have some cabinets already made and probably shipped out for promotion stuff already. So they're probably in place for whatever conventions they're going to be at already.
I'm sure they're in a working position as of now. So,
and being shipped out as we speak. The latest loot crate has been, or the theme has been announced. It's Truth Foretold, and the figure has also been revealed, being the Prophet of Truth. What was that for, GT?
Oh, just remembering a comment last time we talked about this.
I don't remember the comment.
Oh, something regarding a prophet.
That's of truth. Exactly what I would have expected.
I can't remember what my exact comment was, but it related to the Prophet of Truth.
Is that the guy that you stab with a sword?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
See, I played the campaign. I know. That's Halo 3?
That is Halo 3. You're correct.
Oh, my word. Wow. Look at me go.
I got one.
I'm on a roll.
Look at him go.
Now for the...
You're teaching me things.
So for the Double or Nothing, who stabbed the sword through Truth?
Master Chef?
So close.
Oh, shoot.
So close.
Oh, was it the Arbiter?
Ding, 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 ding.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, he kind of had a 50-50 shot on that one. So.
yeah,
pretty much. Yeah. Could have been the Gravemind. He could have already been dead.
That's a stretch.
He could have already been dead and reanimated.
Well, he was kind of rotten.
A little bit. The next figure is the Prophet of Truth, or Ord Casto, San Shiyun Minister of Fortitude. From those that read... Broken Circle?
No.
Wasn't Broken Circle?
Going.
No, it was... I was just listening to that stupid book. What was it? It's one of the older books.
Contact Harvest?
Ghost Savonix.
Contact Harvest, yes.
Well, so he was also in Broken Circle, too.
Well, he was in Broken Circle, but he was introduced in First Contact. Harvest.
Yeah.
Or Contact Harvest, yeah.
Because of the artifact said that the humans were foreigners and they were not happy with that. They were trying to keep it hush-hush.
Well, they were... Biggest deal was the Forerunners were supposed to have moved on.
Well,
you know, they had ascended, and here this luminary is saying there's Forerunners on this planet.
But I think the only reason they're identified as Forerunners is because the Forerunners chose them to inherit the mantle.
Yeah, they chose humanity to...
So they weren't Forerunners, but they were the next... The Foreigners deemed them to... There you go.
Omicron, are you okay?
What's a Halo?
Do you have Wikipedia?
The Halo Wiki?
That's a meme. Fortrub staff. I asked that question while playing through Halo 3. At the very end, I'm like, what's a Halo? Because I genuinely didn't know.
At the end, my favorite part of our entire 10th anniversary live stream, because a segment we had Omicron playing through Combat Evolved for the very first time, and my favorite part of our live stream was the very end of Halo 1. You see it exploding, and your response was, oh, we were on a Halo ring?
I had no idea.
Much to learn you have.
I do.
Young Padawan.
As long as we're going to go on a tangent about the Prophet of Truth for a little while, my favorite piece. Oh, are we clashing?
No, you're... Go ahead.
All right. The Discord chat was glitching out a little bit there. I'll just get it out of the way real quick. My favorite little tidbit about the Prophet of Truth is that he's actually on the Sang Shyum list of celibates, where he cannot reproduce because he has undesirable traits. That's my favorite piece of trivia about him.
Wait, say that again?
He's He's on a, the Sen Shayum have a list of celibates where it's a list of other Sen Shayum who cannot reproduce because they have undesirable traits that they don't want to be passed on.
Right.
And that's just funny to me.
And they're
poor
ugly.
Guy. Exactly. He's just so ugly.
Well, I don't think I can just exactly call any prophet cute.
I was going to say, I don't know what the qualifiers would be for an ugly versus beautiful sunshine, because I don't know if we've ever seen it, but
yeah,
fair point.
But it's just the fact that he's so ugly that they're like, this guy.
Personally,
this guy,
he is ugly.
No. Right. It's like, it's the fact that to the rest of the ugly dudes, he's even uglier. That just brings a smile to my face. Because it's very relatable for one thing.
Nah, I'm sure you're fine. Everyone's beautiful in their own right.
Validate me.
Everyone's beautiful in their own way. Except the prophets.
Except for truth. Forget that guy.
So that crate is available until June 15th at midnight Eastern, 9 p.m. Pacific time. You can head on over to podtagalert.com/lootcrate and use podtagalert checkout to get $3 off the crate. This will be crate number 5, 6, or no, this is the last one of the year too. No, this yeah, okay. Last one of the year. And then year 3 will begin. If you need the last one, then make sure you get it while supplies last. This isn't official Halo news, but it's something that has been making the rounds in the community and is probably something worth mentioning since it's been tweeted out so many times. But someone did a mashup of the Halo 2 anniversary cutscenes with the Infinity War music and style done by Gaga Liunam.
I tried I'm sure not you to pronounced butcher that it correctly. Name.
If not, you absolutely butchered him and he's very disappointed. But what's the
I'm
worst
sorry.
That can happen?
I'm sorry. Names are hard sometimes.
Yeah.
Has everyone seen this?
I have seen that.
I
it's
have.
It's fantastic. Yeah. He also did Thor Ragnarok with Halo 2. Or no, I'm sorry, with Halo 5. And then he did Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 for Halo 2 Anniversary. And both of those were fantastic as well. So it's not anything that he knew that he's been doing.
But it's still incredible.
It is. It's fantastic. When half of humanity is gone, I hope they will remember Gaga Liunam.
I need to watch some of his other stuff. And I'm a little surprised it only has 33,000 views.
It's getting up there.
Day by day. So if you haven't seen it, then just do some Google searches. It's everywhere. But
Bing searches.
Or sorry, Bing searches.
Bing searches.
Thank you. Yeah.
On your Microsoft
Edge.
I'll
get Cortana on that one. But yeah, do you want the one that's Gaga or Guga Liunam? Again, apologies for any mispronunciation of the name. Time for the reason why everyone is here listening to us and why our guests are here. The Halo
Giveaway?
2 Anniversary Forge Tacular, which...
Oh, that.
Yeah. Which, I don't know if
What's
I should
that?
Be offended or honored that... There's another Halo community thing that has a very similar name to Forge Tacular.
Never heard of copyright. It. Your copyright ran up, and we just hopped on that right away just to go right off of your hype.
Okay.
So you got to renew your copyright license.
I mean, I put 2018. I thought that would be enough, but I guess not. I guess you
up.
Found the loophole. Dang it.
We did. So we took that.
No, but seriously, this is kind of a little bit of change from the norm because you guys have had the Halo 5 Forge contests for the past couple of years, and there's always a lot of hype with MCC coming back. Getting back into Halo 2 Anniversary, it might take some people by surprise a little bit. I guess kind of just lay out the ground level of what the Halo 2 Anniversary Forge Tacular is, and since we have the judges on here, I'll let you guys kind of lay out what the contest actually is. So whichever one wants to go for it.
Hit it off, Shooty.
All right. So the Forgetacular is a 4v4 core competition. So the goal is to create a map for Halo 2 Anniversary in the Forge mode that supports two core game types, Slayer included. So really, you only have to optimize for one just to qualify for the contest. The goal is to have, just simply put, the best map in the contest. That's just how you win. And we're judging based off of flow, gameplay, spawning. Really not looking at aesthetics this time, because let's admit, everything in Halo 2 Anniversary is concrete. So
the Forge mode,
right, the other multiplayer maps are beautiful, like they're the skyboxes are fantastic, but Forge mode is concrete, so aesthetics are going to be overlooked for the most part, as long as it's not clashing terribly and it's something that's respectable, it's not just randomly thrown together, then it'll pass for aesthetics. So don't really put a lot of thought into that. Don't worry about it, at least. The main focus here is gameplay.
Right.
And that's good to know, because Halo Reach kind of suffered something similarly with all the gray pieces.
Glass. Right. Yeah, and the gray blocks.
Glass in the floor. Oh.
Beautiful. Loved it.
I mean, Halo 2 Anniversary, I know a lot of people gave it flack when it first came out, but that's where we got the initial start of the scripting.
Right.
Yeah.
That's been very powerful in Halo 5. And for those that, I'm sure you guys have seen it, but for those of you listening that haven't seen it, who was it that tweeted out the improving of scripts? Oh, it was Knockyard.
Yeah, right. It was by Extraterrestrial.
Extraterrestrial.
Yep. Right. And tweeted out a video of a pelican flying via a script and looking realistic.
I'm just like, smooth.
Machinima?
Oh, it looks
machinima? Machinima?
Yeah. Looks, please, it please. Looks great.
I'm just like, oh, that looks so pretty.
Yeah, it looks fantastic. But yeah, Halo 2 Anniversary was the very beginning for scripting. We had the very basic scripting objects in that game, like gates, things like that, that would move or open up. And that really paved the way for just these crazy scripts that we now have in Halo 5, where you can really change the entire game just by adding some scripts.
It brings a whole new arena of play to the Halo sandbox, because it is something that you just tweak, you just mess around with it and you come up with some crazy stuff. I mean, one of the things that was, I'm guessing it's still in there, but it's the trick with the weapon pad where you can put a weapon down, but it has a completely different projectile.
Right.
I mean, that's a cool side effect, and they kept it in there. And then the scripts for like the elevators and animating stuff for something that could be machinima. I know there were a few Griffball maps where they had the grunts in the stands like cheering. And then for Griffball, having like fireworks go off when you score a goal. It's crazy the amount of stuff that you can do, and even some of the custom games that we play are heavily scripted, but they're really just ingenious. Like someone did the PUBG style battle royale thing, right, in Halo.
The battle royale mode, that's a pretty fun custom games. Just the amount of crazy mini games that people have created that I never would have thought of in Halo 5 is fantastic. I always default back to talking about Flapjack Frenzy, because that game mode is so insane. You play as a giant spatula. The vehicle welding, the scripting. Vehicles. It's just so, it's so ridiculous. It's so much fun. It's like a Mario Party game. And it's just fantastic.
That's what we need. We need a Halo mini games playlist. Or section under multiplayer. It's like Halo mini games.
Action Sack. The Action Sack playlist in Halo 5 definitely could use some updating.
Hint, hint, wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Yeah.
Just get Tank Wars out of there.
Tank World.
Oh, I'm sorry, Tank World. Or Mantis Breakout. Let's just kind of...
Tank World was in there at one point, right?
Tank World was. Is it not anymore? Still?
They might it's have been a while since I've played it. Out. Yeah, I'm not sure.
If they haven't yet, then they've been sleeping on it.
Yeah. I think they did swap it out, actually. Now that I think about it, I think they did that a while back.
Possibly.
Okay. So going back to the contest, so you just went over the rules, and you two are judges along with Nitro for taking all the submissions and whittling them down to 10. So what are you looking for? And you kind of already touched on this a little bit, but when you're looking at the playability of the mask, what are some of the things that people may often miss that they should consider when they're making their maps?
Do you want to lay this one out, Omi?
Yeah, I can go on it a little bit. When making a map, the main thing, I mean, we're going to be going through all the submissions, and obviously, one by one, we have to look at them. Like, to be fair, if the forging is cleanly done, regardless of layout and everything else, like we said, we're not going to be judging on the aesthetic side very much, but that doesn't mean the forging can be poorly done. You can tell, I mean, we, all three of us, Nitro, Shooty, and I, have a lot of experience with Forge. We've tested hundreds upon thousands of maps, and we know how a map should look professionally created or made. So that's the very first thing I would pick out. If it doesn't look like it was made with care, then I don't want to say it's going to be tossed to the side, because that's not fair, because we'll be playing on it.
It might be overlooked, for sure.
Yeah,
because anything that looks like it was thrown together most likely was thrown together. And another really key point that I would say, very basic level starting out, please, please, please read the announcement article and please make sure your map follows those guidelines, because there have been so many submissions in the past that were either fairly decent maps or some were just kind of thrown together that we had to deny from submissions because they didn't qualify for specific reasons. Like, for example, this contest requires two core game types. Slayer is included, so that only means you need to set up one other game type just for the contest. It's Oddball is super easy to set up, or Capture the Flag, King of the Hill, Territories, Assault, Ricochet, all of these are included, and all you need to do is set up one extra one other than Slayer. Please make sure you do that, because if you submit a map and it only has Slayer, it will be overlooked and it will be disqualified because it doesn't meet the criteria. And that's rejected. Unfortunate because, right. It's unfortunate because I know people put work into it, and then they put work into the submission and they make it look as best as they can. And then I would hate for us to just be able to, or more rather just have to look over it rather than actually being able to give it a chance, because the qualifying aspects are first and foremost. We can't judge a map that doesn't qualify. So really basic, most basic level, make sure your map qualifies.
Correct. And I mean, us three, Nitro, me, and Shooty, we're dwindling it down to 10, like you said earlier. It's not over at that point. We're narrowing it down to the top 10, which, in the grand scheme of things, 10 maps is a reasonably large chunk, and it's very doable for any forger to make it into the top 10. So don't be afraid to submit a map, because it's not going to be brushed to the side, because it's like, oh, there's so many submissions. We're looking at every single submission. Every map's going to be looked at fairly. And there's 10 slots. That's a lot of slots for a contest. I would definitely submit one.
Right. And then think of it this way as well. If you make it to the top 10,
your map's getting noticed.
Your map is not only getting noticed, but it's getting played in studio by 343 Industries, because they're going to be running playtests at that point on all 10 of the maps to narrow it down to the three that they believe should be the true winners.
Right.
So if your map makes it to the top 10, regardless if you win or not, the developers have played it in their studio. And that's crazy for an amateur map designer, an amateur level designer, to have that feeling of, hey, the people that made this game have actually noticed my work. And that is something that's just really important and integral when it comes to enthusiasm and it comes to motivation.
And pretty rare within the gaming industry.
Exactly. Definitely. Halo 5, the communication between 343 and the community, and I can speak for the Forging community in particular, it's been incredible. Like we've had so much back and forth and it's been great.
That's cool. So the deadline for this is June 10th, midnight. And I'm assuming that's supposed to be Eastern Daylight Time instead of Eastern Standard Time.
Yeah.
So the judging begins at that point. It looks like you guys have about 3 weeks to judge it, and then you pass it off. Or between you guys judging it and 343 judging it, that's about 3 weeks.
We don't want to keep anyone waiting too long for those results.
Well, and you guys usually have, what, a two-week turnaround for most of your contests?
It's very typical. For the Grand Prix, we had about 2 weeks. It was actually like our, I believe it was our quickest judged contest. And we live streamed the entire process. We had Duquesne with us on that one, and he live streamed our entire judging process. And we just wanted that level of transparency so everyone could see what was going through our heads and people could get live feedback on their maps if they submitted. And that was something that we thought was a huge success, both the speed and the transparency of that contest. No current word. I don't want to make any promises on whether we'll be streaming any of the judging for this one, especially since it is a partnership with 343. We don't know if we want to make entirely everything transparent with this, as well as it may slow down the process. So we're going to definitely be looking into that as an option, but I can't make any promises of whether we'll stream or not.
At the very least, we have a Trello board set up where we'll be going through the maps and you'll be able to see, you know,
right. So
where
authors,
maps are for that.
So authors that submit maps will be able to immediately see if we've disqualified them for any reasons, or they'll be able to get some little feedback on it for whatever we decide to leave on it. They'll be able to see, like, or in real time as our decisions are made, they'll see that progress if they want to keep checking on the Trello board.
That's nice.
And it's always there. Like, it's permanent. It's like you can go back and check it. It's not like a video clip where you have to go through 5 hours of a stream and find 2 minutes of where someone's on your map or something. So it's very easy to see, very quick, very helpful.
That's awesome. Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys have kind of made the whole Forging contest thing down to a nice, well-oiled machine. And you guys have done contests. You pumped them out almost every other month or every 3 months.
Well, we actually have a contest, technically a contest every month. It's not the same as some other contests, but we have community favorites every single month. And that's community driven. That's not the staff that pick.
Right. We don't have any say in what maps actually win our community favorites. It's entirely influenced by the community. We have the community nominate maps. We have the community vote for the maps. And just from there on out, it's their pick. And that's gone over really well in recent months, where we've had a lot of different types of maps show up in there, from Infection to like 1v1s, core maps. It's a really good way to engage the community and see what they like at the moment, because people's tastes change over time. And back to your original question about the contest, we're getting it down to a science with this most recent one with the 4chub Grand Prix. We did a very drastic overhaul to our contest system, and partially it was because of myself and Sir Ironwolf taking over as the coordinators for it. We decided that we needed an overhaul to make sure that we could make these contests, just pump them out one after another, make sure that they're great in quality as well as quantity. And I think we found a really great middle ground for our judging process, and it really helps keep everyone on the same page, as well as getting it done as fast as possible. So we're planning on utilizing the same kind of system in this next upcoming in the Halo 2 Forgetacular. So I would expect us to be able to complete our judging fairly quickly, and with an incredible amount of precision.
Great. That's awesome to hear. So what about the prizing or awards for people that get selected?
Yeah, prizing. The first place, well, actually, we shouldn't start with first place. That'll be last. But the third place, we'll have prizing that Forge Hub is providing. Also, we'll have a 343 Industries prizing, and they'll kind of be mashed together then once the results come out. But the third place from 343, they're going to possibly get their map into an H2A playlist pending their approval, which is very up in the air, and we cannot make any guarantees that it'll happen, nor can they. But there's a possibility, which is should be good enough for anybody, because that's a huge deal, even at that. Also, on top of that, they'll get $150 and a Forge Hub t-shirt from Forge Hub.
And I know what you're thinking. The t-shirt is really the highlight of the prizes here.
It's the best part.
It is.
The free swag is where it's at.
It is. Absolutely. It was designed by Omicron himself.
That's right. The graphic designer.
I've got mine. He's got his. And let me tell you, they're great.
They're so soft.
We'll have to trade t-shirts next time.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, yeah. We'll get you one.
Second place, though, going down the line, 343's prizing is a special Halo Waypoint title, avatar, and badge, a loot box, and their map will be placed into an H2A playlist pending their approval again. I'm sure that'll be easier to understand down the road. I don't know what a special Halo Waypoint title, avatar, and badge necessarily means. That's a question for 343 themselves and not Forge Hub.
It's the stuff in the forums.
Right.
Yeah, it's the custom ones that they give out to people that have earned them through whatever means. And on top of that, they're getting $350 provided by Forge Hub and a t-shirt as well.
And the t-shirt.
Another t-shirt.
Yes.
Another t-shirt.
Wow, wait, it gets better. First place also gets a t-shirt.
What?
And a fat 500.
Exactly. That's $500.
That's this many?
That's 500.
I can't see you, but I'm sure that you're holding up. I trust that you're holding up five fingers.
I was.
I trust in you enough to do that. So,
On top of that, the 343, I mean, they're getting a play date with 343 on their map. And on top of that, they get what second place got, Halo Waypoint title, avatar, and badge, loot box, and their map placed into a H2A playlist pending their approval. So pretty much everything what second and third got, plus more, which is, hey, more is better.
More is typically better.
Typically it is better, yeah.
Unless it's cancer, in which case that's not good.
Well, that's depressing.
All right, and on that note, we're going to be ending PodTag.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. I'd like to take this next moment to talk about my recent leukemia diagnosis.
Gosh.
So I'll go ahead and dive into the actual questions that I kind of pre-sent along. Everyone's probably wondering, why are we going backwards to Halo 2 Anniversary? Even though it might not be backwards. I probably have an inkling why we're going back to Halo 2 Anniversary. Well, yeah. But why Halo 2 Anniversary when everything else lately has been on Halo 5?
Well, it was a joint decision between Forge Hub and 343 when we decided we wanted to have a partnership together. We decided that we wanted this to be standing out. We didn't just want another Halo 5 contest. And with the Master Chief Collection updates coming soon in the future, we knew that we wanted to generate some buzz for that, as well as for Master Chief Collection, get it back out there on the map. So what better way to build up hype than to give people money for playing the game?
yeah.
No, but in all seriousness, we know that the community wants a classic experience right now. It's been 2.5 years into Halo 5's lifespan, and we just wanted to give people a new outlook in these contests. We wanted to have a new view of it rather than just another Halo 5 one, which was a huge aspect in selecting Halo 2 Anniversary as our basis for this next contest. And on top of that, 343 liked the idea, and they said that they wanted to provide the prizing as an option to have the maps included in a playlist post contest. And that is just a really awesome thing, especially for Halo 2 Anniversary to have, since they only have, I think, 7 maps for Halo 2 Anniversary.
Yep.
Right. So it's a great opportunity for 343 as well to build that database of maps that they have in matchmaking for it. So we're both mutually benefiting from it, and the community benefits by getting some new maps and being able to compete in a very very broad sort of competition that we haven't seen in a while.
I think it's good for getting all that attention back to MTC, because it is something that we are, well, I'm expecting an influx, because I know there's some people out there that appreciate the older style of Halo compared to the newer stuff. So I think it's, I mean, like you said before, trying to garner the attention back on the MCC, especially with the updates they're going to be rolling out here, probably, hopefully not too long. And overall, just having the partnership with 343 is kind of a good incentive as well, because it shows that they're still wanting to invest more in what the community wants, which they've heard the cry out of the hashtag Save MCC stuff, I'm sure, over and over again. But the fact that they're actually doing something about it and working with you all as a community entity, I think, says a lot.
Right. We feel the same way, too.
How did the partnership come about? Was it something that they approached you with and like, hey, we want to kind of do this contest since they promoted your contest before? Did you approach them and say, hey, we have this idea, we want to kind of run forward with it? What do you think?
Yeah, it was always mutual. We had always been in discussion with them since we started getting more site traffic and more popular back in early Halo 5. It had always been something that was discussed, and it was discussed heavily during the Ghost in the Shell competition from about a year or two back.
That was last year's Halo World Championship contest.
This was something that had always been in discussion, and like you said, promoting versus partnership. They had promoted our contests in the past, almost every one of them. They would always include somewhere in the weekly update on Waypoint, or they would just retweet our things about it on Twitter. And that's great promotion. And to see that level of support from a developer to their community is alone fantastic. But this is a next step when it comes to developer and community relations. A partnership between a community entity and a full-fledged AAA studio like this, it's something that's really groundbreaking when it comes to transparency and when it comes to communities and their roles in games, because essentially a community is required to make a successful game. So supporting your community in the way that 343 is, it's fantastic. And honestly, this partnership is, I feel, going to do great things for both of us.
I hope it does. I mean, you guys have put on great contests in the past, and I think it's garnered a lot of community interaction. So I think you guys really deserve it and are going to put on a good contest for it, like you always do.
We're going to do everything we can to make sure that...
I'm sure you guys will be fine.
It might kill us.
Yeah.
Nah. It'll be worth it.
We may or may not be fine at the end, but...
Did you sign in blood when you were supposed to sign in ink?
That's disclosed. We can't talk about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, we can't talk about that. There was also like a pentagram involved and stuff. I don't know what that was for, but... There was an animal sacrifice?
You've said something too like much that. Already, Shooty.
Yeah, they're going to come for me now, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. But, hey. So for the past contests, a lot of the maps that you've had to fall within a certain time window of when they're created. But this one, you're opening it up to any map that's been created at any time. So why the difference here?
You want to take this one, Seth?
Yeah. The main reason for doing that is because... They're updating MCC, and possibly we're trying to get maps that hopefully will be good enough to get into a playlist rotation at least. And because of that, we want to get the best of the best, the cream of the crop, out of the community. And to do that, that's what needs to be done. It takes time to make a well-polished map and a good map. And I know for a fact there is maps out there that can be tweaked up, and I'm sure they'll be submitted, and they have a good chance, but there's going to be a lot of competition out there. But it just helps fuel competition between forgers and more maps, the better. And it pretty much, there's no negatives to it, I feel like.
Exactly.
Just healthy competition.
Not in this competition. I don't think there's negatives. Usually the reason why we narrow it down to it needs to be built in this exact amount of time or it needs to be built in this window is because we want to level the playing field for everyone. We want to make sure that, hey, you guys all have the same resources and the same amount of time to produce results. But as Seth was saying, for the Halo 2 Anniversary Forgetacular, it's sort of, we felt more fair to open it up broader because we know there are a lot of people out there, a lot of great forgers and level designers that have full-time jobs or have families, and they're not able to really crank out a well-polished map in 3 to 4 weeks. And they already maybe have only one map out there that took them months and months and months with their busy schedules to be able to submit. And we felt that it might be a little unfair to disclose or to close up the contest to them because we really are looking for the best of the best when it comes to these 4v4 core maps. And like Seth was saying, it takes a long time to do that. Now, that's not to say that maybe all the maps that win will be new maps created within this window, because that is entirely possible as well. It's just we want to make sure that everyone has a chance to submit for this one. And it was partly because of the openness with 343 that we wanted to give everyone a chance to participate now that they're more involved. And it was partly just, we want to see what happens. We want to see, we're always looking to broaden our horizons and expand on our contests. So being able to see the results of this one, how many submissions we get, the quality of the submissions, all of that together will come down to really show us where we can drive our contest focus in the future.
Do you think there'll be some more Halo 2 Anniversary contests after this one, depending on the response back that you get and the updates that are going to come to MCC potentially later this year?
I think we'd like to. It truly does depend on how well this contest goes, and how the updates come out, how the stability of MCC popularity, how everything's going. We have to go with the flow. We don't want to make any commitments.
Yeah, it's something we're entirely open to, and it's something that if this goes incredibly well, maybe we could open up to the possibility of something other than 4v4 core. If this goes well, and if 343 wants to continue doing Halo 2 Anniversary contests, if they want to keep us together with that partnership, or Halo 5, anything that they want to kind of focus on, we're entirely open to doing that. So, and that's not to say that we wouldn't do it on our own either. Say they don't have they don't necessarily need a partnership at the time. We could still be entirely open to hosting something for Halo 2 Anniversary. It's really just, it depends on the reactions we get, which so far have been incredibly positive. So really, it's after this happens, after this is over and the dust is settled, we'll see how well it's received. And after that, we'll probably start planning in whatever we find is best.
I'm excited to see what comes out.
We are too.
I'm wondering how many people are going to dust off old Halo maps and maybe try to put a fresh coat of paint, so to speak, on it and see what they can do.
Yeah,
we're excited to see that as well.
Are there any maps that kind of stick out from past Halo 2 Anniversary Forge style things that you guys can think of?
Community made?
Yeah.
There is. I don't know if it'd be in our best interest though to speak out upon, certain maps, because like we said earlier, everything is up for grabs. So we don't want to seem like we're playing favorites upon anything.
Yeah, there are definitely some great H2A maps that are already out there, and I feel like maps are going to be made that rival as well as they are now. So I don't want to really go out there and point out any in specific, just because I want to be able to be fair to the new ones that are going to be made.
Sure,
but there are definitely ones that are out there. There are definitely some great maps.
After the contest, we'll have a list compiled of at least the top 10. And so after the contest is over, even if you didn't win, there's going to be a good list of maps to draw from for custom games or competitive players alike that want some fresh maps to play on. So that, I mean, it's a win even if you don't win.
Fair point. GT, you got any questions? I know I'm hogging the limelight over here a little bit.
No. Actually, as far as the contest, I answered all my questions.
Okay. is there anything else that you guys have to share about the contest that we didn't cover?
I mean, all the information can be found on ForgeHub.com on the featured article for the announcement of the Halo 2 Anniversary Forgetacular. All your questions should be able to be answered there. If you have any other questions, you can direct them to the comments on that article, and one of us will be able to get back to you on that. Other than that, there's really nothing else that I feel like we should be addressing with it.
Okay. Very nice. Well, thanks for coming on and sharing the contest with us and spending a little time with us over here as we went through all the past couple of days' news.
Well, yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, thanks.
Certainly. And look forward to having you guys on again.
Yeah, hopefully. That'd be great.
Open to it, for sure.
Yeah, maybe when the contest gets closer to an end, we can maybe do a segment or something, or we'll at least be talking about the contest, so.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Maybe something around that time. For everyone else that is listening, thank you for tuning in. Whether we are on Mixer or downloading the show, we appreciate your support. You can find us all across the internet on social media. We have our Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Twitch, Mixer, Xbox Club, Spartan Company, all that fun stuff. If you just search Podtacular, then you will likely find it. Quick update on our Spartan Company. We still have another, we're actually under 1,000 for Marine kills. We have another 860 to go. That's been slowly ticking away to get our last level 4 down. And our two closest level 5s are quickly kill 3 or more enemy Spartans and then skyjacking vehicles. So thanks everyone that is contributing to the Podtacular Company kill commendations. We do have some spots open for those that are looking for a Spartan Company that also needs an Achilles helmet. So go ahead and you can find us over at podtacular.com/company and then request to enlist and we'll accept you. Quick reminder to check out the latest loot crate, which is Prophet of Truth themed. You have until June 15th to order it. And if you go to podtacular.com/loot crate and use the code podtacular at checkout, you will get $3 off of the very last crate of the second year of Halo the Legendary crates. They're likely going to be going on to a year 3, so more Halo content will be coming down the pipeline soon. Make sure you check out our game night. We have Fraggin' Fridays with GT at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And like you heard earlier in the podcast, that will range from matchmaking to Warzone to customs based on party size. So just make sure you either check out the streams on YouTube, Twitch, and Mixer, or send him a message at his gamertag, Godzilla T, and he will make sure he gets you in to play with us. We're also looking, again, for the last episode of Achieving Halo for Halo 5 to be done. So if you're interested in partaking in that production, then send GT a message and let him know that you're interested, and we'll try to get the last episode done. And I also stream on Sundays around 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Right now I'm going through MCC achievements, trying to catch up on all my extra ones that I don't have yet. I think I'm down to, 87 achievements that I need left, most of which are par scores. So that'll be a long grind. And there's some matchmaking ones in there as well. In addition to our podcast, we have those two streams that you can check us out on as well. And last but not least, make sure you check out our podcast network. We're part of a network of gaming-specific shows, which includes Critcast, Guardian Radio, Podcast 76, The Learning Cliff, Work in Progress, and How to Murder Time. You can check out more about those podcasts over at thepodcast.com. And one final thanks to our guests on the show tonight. I really appreciate the folks from ForgeHub coming out and talking to us about the Halo 2 Anniversary Forgetacular. So Omicron and Shooty, thank you very much for spending your evenings with us. It has been a pleasure having you on the show.
Yeah, thank
you. Great being here.
And as always, keep on fragging trucks. We'll catch everyone next week.